All right, welcome to Proverbs Every Day. We're going to be reading from Proverbs 16 and 17 today. It's going to be a nice long session, so we're going to give some time for people to join us here live. If you're watching the replay, then hey, welcome. See you in a few minutes.
Better dry crust with peace all around than a house full of feasts with anger unbound. A wise servant will come to rule over disgrace, claiming inheritance with a calm, steady pace. Fire tests the silver and gold refined. Hearts are tested in the heat of the mind. A wicked one listens to lips of deceit. A liar enjoys every malicious treat. Hold your tongue if it spews out lies. Gossip spreads like wildfire. Good medicine to find. Crushed spirits, dry up bones left behind. A friend loves at all times, standing near as a brother born from adversity's tears. Chapter each calendar day. Proverbs every day. Proverbs every day. Hold your tongue if it spews out lies. Hold your tongue if it spews out lies. Gossip spreads like wildfires to the skies. Wisdom walks a dozen miles. Patience stays till trouble's done. Chapter.
Good morning. A great February morning here. We're going to be doing two today. So we're going to be reading through Proverbs 16 and 17. Get us nice and good and confused as to what day it is. But this is going to be just an experiment on how to handle February with its short month. And so, it's going to be an interesting day. So glad you're here with me. And let's get started with a moment of prayer, and then we'll dive into both chapters today. Father God, thank you for in Middle Tennessee here, thank you for the rains that we're experiencing, that you're nourishing the ground and providing a fruitful harvest to come. So we give you thanks for that, and we ask that you would continue to bless our efforts towards preparedness, that we would be a people that are seeking you out constantly and looking to how we can be proactive in our faith and the world around us. So give us your wisdom this morning as we try and just enrich ourselves with your presence this morning. So Father, we thank you for that and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Diving into Proverbs 16 first in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Let's do this. The reflections of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. I like that, belong to man. So the reflections belong to man, but the answer is from the Lord. Actually, I kind of like that. It's not what you'd expect to hear, but it's what we get when we actually do reflect. The answer becomes from the Lord. It's not us speaking at that point. It's us being a conduit, which is really cool. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord evaluates the motives, our ways, spirits. So again, it's not our ways. It's our motives. Commit your activities to the Lord, and your plans will be achieved. Apparently doing a lot of highlights today, but this one's going to be a green highlight for me because this is actually, one of those that, I do a lot of planning, and some of the plans get achieved, some of those don't. I set goals, some of those get done, some of those get changed, most get changed. but there's a overall notion of committing the activities to the Lord and making that the motivation, and it's pretty impossible to fail if that's true. Verse 4, the Lord has prepared everything for his purpose, even the wicked for a day of disaster. It's a mystery. We don't know what that purpose is, but everyone with a proud heart is detestable to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Or assured can mean hand to hand, is a way to say that metaphorically. Verse 6, wickedness is atoned for by loyalty and faithfulness, and one turns from evil by the fear of the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. This is actually a little bit of a interesting note here. So this is capitalized here, indicating it's the Lord is making his enemies be at peace with him. But the footnote is not capitalized, indicating that it's the man with the ways that makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. More specifically, the ways make even his enemies be at peace with him. It's an interesting difficulty there in how to how to interpret that. I think they all work, is the honest truth. But it's when our ways are to please the Lord that makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Yeah, it's very interesting to look at that and kind of just notice that it all works, but it, you know, it's semantics, I guess. Verse 8. Better a little with righteousness than great income with injustice. You have that in between there. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. It's kind of one of those, we make plans and God laughs. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here. Verse 10, God's verdict is on the lips of a king, or a divination is on the lips of a king. His mouth should not give an unfair judgment. I like that. Actually, that's a conviction right there. It says that if you are a leader, then you have a duty now to realize that God is, you're speaking for God, essentially. And so that needs to be where you're at. That needs to be your focus is, okay, what would God want in this scenario? That needs to be something you're truly focused on in order to do that properly. So his mouth should not give an unfair judgment. Yeah. Honest balances and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his concern. Merchant kept the stones and the scales. Yes, so this is, maybe some people don't know this, but in these times, there were stones that were of a specific weight, and they were compared one to another. And so like a scale. And so these stones were kind of like a currency of sort, but meant for determining fair trade. And so they would keep those in their bags, as a way to transact. And so that was very important for that to be a standard across the board and for those to be even at all times. And so what this is also saying is that these honest balances of scales are part of God's design. So in other words, if we know that wisdom was there before the creation of the world, that this was all part of creation, that means that even physics are subject to this. In other words, physics exist to create honesty in the world. Say that again. Physics exist to create and assure honesty in the world. How cool is that? If gravity were suddenly just like weird every now and then, if it wasn't a constant, then we wouldn't have like balances. We wouldn't be able to say what's fair. So even in that kind of instance, that's something that we're working with here. That's the wonder of creation is that is among the intentions. I geek out about that. It's just so much fun to me to think about all the ways that God was prepared for us. It's just a lot of it brings a smile on my face, obviously. So along with that, I think is these kind of things here. So verse 12, wicked behavior is detestable to kings, since a throne is established through righteousness. So that means either the king's or someone else's behavior is should not be wicked. Verse 13, righteous lips are a king's delight, and he loves one who speaks honestly. A king's fury is a messenger of death, but a wise man appeases it. When a king's face lights up, there is life. His favor is like a cloud with spring rain. Verse 16, get wisdom, how much better it is than gold. Get understanding. It is preferable to silver. You know, I keep having all these random ideas, and I probably just need to start just doing it. But just creating a shirt that says, like, you know, wisdom and then greater than Bitcoin. Or wisdom better than stocks. You know, sort of thing. Just to kind of modernize the message a bit. But it's important to have that perspective of where's our focus? Where are we putting our hope? Where are we investing? And so investing into wisdom, just like you're doing right now, just like you're sitting here listening to me and pondering this along with me. This is an investment of your time, which is one of our most valuable assets. And so it's above those things. Verse 17, the highway of the upright avoids evil. One who guards his way protects his life. Pride comes before destruction, and an arrogant spirit before a fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that pride thing is... It's a tough one. Well, because our world tells us to be prideful. And it appears to reward arrogance. They don't last, though. Better to be lowly of spirit with the humble than to divide the plunder with the proud. So some translations might read afflicted on that. But I like that they made it humble because it actually gives a counterpoint to the one above. Because now you're, you know, lily of spirit will be humble, but you know, dividing the plunder of the proud. So you're coming right back into this. It's like these four verses form so you can have these patterns that you have the top, the middle, and the bottom. But it's more like it can be kind of flipped around in a circle kind of a thing. It's a cool kind of thing where the thing that was at the top now becomes is kind of the answer. And so it's answered and comes back around kind of thing. It's a cool visual for me. So if that's helpful to you sometimes to see how this helps our learning to have these circular kind of things where the order of the verses is very important. Very cool stuff. Verse 20. The one who understands a matter finds success, and the one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. Anyone with a wise heart is called discerning, and a pleasant speech increases learning. Or sweetness of lips increases learning. Insight is a fountain of life for its possessor, but discipline of fools is folly. A wise heart instructs its mouth and increases learning with its speech, or learning upon its lips. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste, or the throat, and health to the body, or bones, health to the bones, makes fat the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way to death. So we saw something like that earlier, didn't we? In verse 9 here. So in other words, we shouldn't be seeking our way, but God's way. Verse 26, a worker's appetite works for him because his hunger urges him on, or his mouth urges him on. But this is a verse I've highlighted before because it's one of those things where sometimes we shouldn't be despising our discomfort. Our discomfort actually drives us forward. That idea of not having, and so we're driven to work to provide for ourselves, provide for our family. It's a healthy thing. It's again, part of that design. Verse 27, a worthless man digs up evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A contrary man spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Verse 29, a violent man lures his neighbor, leading him in a way that is not good. The one who narrows his eyes is planning deceptions. One who compresses his lips brings about evil. Gray hair is a glorious crown. It is found in the way of righteousness. Patience is better than power, and controlling one's temper than capturing a city, or ruling over one's spirit than capturing a city. I like that. Patience is better than power. And again, we see the physics thing here. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. In other words, we can think we have this all figured out and we're all good to go with it, but ultimately, this is where these kind of things are kind of the tiebreaker, I guess you could say. It's, yeah, if you're stuck, then there's a methodology to get unstuck and to just get going. You know, well, I was in a place like this recently where I was like, well, what do I do? And I'm still kind of in a weird spot with that where I don't have a lot of full confidence in one choice or the other, or in what I don't have a piece in keeping to do what I'm doing professionally. And so I know I need to change something. And ultimately it came down to just pick one, just go, you know, in other words, it's like, okay, well, just you know, roll the dice and see whichever one comes up first, just do that one. And it's okay. You know, we get so obsessed with making sure we're doing the things right. And sometimes we just have to get going. Yeah. All right, well, let's transition. If you have any favorites from that, let me know. But we will transition into, oh, I went the wrong way, into 17 here. There we go. Because you're getting two for the price of one today. As I take a drink of water. All right, hopefully we're doing well out there. Here we go. Verse 17, or chapter 17. Better a dry crust with peace than a house full of feasting with strife. So I'll play the song again at the end. It's a verse that's based on Proverbs 17. It's one of the favorites that I've had created so far. It's just a lot of fun. But it's, these kind of distinctions are fun to read, but it's learning those in betweens, learning those items that define us, I guess you could say. Verse 2, a wise servant will rule over a disgraceful son and will share an inheritance among brothers. So, in other words, it's wisdom that prevails. If you're disgraceful or foolish, then you don't just automatically get that inheritance, do you? So a wise servant will end up ruling. even though it's not his default position. So it's a wake up call for anybody who's like got a sense of entitlement about them. A crucible for silver and a smelter for gold. And the Lord is the tester of hearts. Did a video about this a couple months ago. You can see the buffalo video and talking about this, where we don't like to talk about the Lord being the tester of hearts. But that is the reality here. That we have trials are coming, and if we don't allow God to put us through that crucible, if we don't allow him to crank up the heat a bit, when the real trials come, that's when trouble arises, when we're not really ready for it. And so when I talk about preparedness, this is a big piece of that, of saying we need to be practiced in these things. Otherwise, when the troubles come, we can be wiped away by it. That's not what God wants us. So it's when he says the tester of hearts, I don't want you to see that as a negative. I really want you to see a very positive aspect of that. Much like when we talk about discipline, you know, if we're withholding the rod, so to speak, if we're withholding discipline from a child, then God says we hate that child. And it's because we're not preparing them for the real world. We're not preparing them for the trials to come. We're not correcting those kind of things. And so in an adult way, this is the way that God prepares us. He puts us into challenges. He puts us through tough times to see what our character is. So it's really, truly important for us to get that. That when it comes to just trying to live out a life of gratitude, great. But you have to have that in the right perspective of what God is preparing us for. He doesn't want us to just coast through life. What would life be like if we just coasted through it? Again, verse 2 has it right there. It's like, why servant will rule over a disgraceful son and share an inheritance among brothers? Okay, if you're not that, if you're just coasting along, then what is your inheritance? So that's why God is a tester of hearts. That's why we're put through these trials, so that we can emerge on the other side stronger and ready for the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. Hope that's helpful to somebody this morning that's going through something tough, is that you need to know that you're being challenged for a reason. And it is not to worry about rising to the occasion, but truly getting yourself in a place of being prepared for the next by overcoming that. So I know it's hard to hear. That is what it is. Verse 4. A wicked person listens to malicious talk, or lips of iniquity, and a liar pays attention to a destructive tongue. The one who mocks the poor insults his maker, and the one who rejoices over calamity will not go unpunished. Grand children are the crown of the elderly, and the pride the sons of their and the pride of sons is their fathers. It's an interesting way to translate that. I think I've seen that differently. The pride of fathers is their sons. Because we know that pride is not a good thing. We know that from the last chapter, we know that pride is not. Interesting. Being pride of the sons is their father's crown. Okay, I guess that kind of makes sense like that. Just a weird way to translate that, I guess, or weird way to say that. Is it eloquent? Eloquent words are not appropriate on a fool's lips. How much worse are lies for a ruler? You know, this is something that I've been challenged with. There's been times where, you know, in times of leadership, it's easy to just want to create a narrative, you know, to actually help people along to see what you're trying to say or something like that. So there was a time, and it wasn't terribly long ago, I found myself just talking and I was like making up a story. It was so weird. And I look back on it and I'm like, why did I do that? What was I doing there? Why did I feel like I needed to do that, you know, to create a narrative, you know, and say it was true? And it's just some of those things where it's just like, fortunately, that's not something that came to bite me that time, but it's just like, those are kind of things that can really hurt. And so it's important to watch our tongues at all times and always be speaking truth, even if it's not convenient. And not even in those kind of situations where it's just like, I will never figure that one out. I suppose my ways are a mystery, and Satan just loves to remind me of these things, but it's not dwelling in that. It's moving forward and making sure that now I know. Verse 8, a bribe seems like magic stone to its owner. Wherever he turns, he succeeds. That's a weird one. A bribe seems like a magic stone to its owner. It's just a very odd one. Very odd. And I think we've looked at that one before in cross references and things like that and found that it really is not necessarily saying that we should be bribing. It's just more of the things where it's like, it's a temporary means to success. It doesn't always work. Verse 9. Whoever conceals an offense promotes love, but whoever gossips about it separates friends. Again, that gossiping thing. So yucky. A rebuke cuts into a perceptive person more than 100 lashes into a fool. So we're getting back to what I was saying earlier about if you can take a rebuke, it's one of those things where it's like, if you can make something of that, otherwise you're just a fool. Let's not do that. An evil man seeks only rebellion. A cruel messenger will be sent against him, or a merciless angel will be sent against him. Interesting. Better for a man to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his foolishness. I mean, it's a bit extreme, but stay away. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will never depart from his house. That's a hard one. The evil will never depart from his house. It's, again, not a punishment, just a result. That's why we need to take these things seriously, is because that is something that just, it hangs around. It just doesn't want to go. Just, you know, yeah. So it's just don't return evil for good. Just don't. Verse 14, to start a conflict is to release a flood. So stop the dispute before it breaks out. Hold back that comment. Let that news story last for 24 hours. Actually, I just reposted yesterday, I think, a blog article I wrote, gosh, almost 10 years ago now, about being aware of sometimes we just want to be heard. And that just causes us to be contentious on like social media and with our friends and with the people we're around, or just strangers off the street sometimes. It's really important to realize that, yeah, you have opinions, but that ultimately, if somebody's not asking for your wisdom, don't try and give it to them. It's just only going to start a conflict. So stop it before it starts. Be aware of that need you have to be heard. I call that the herd mentality. So the ways to combat that are to do things like, for example, I have kind of a standing rule that I try to follow as much as I can, that if a news story is not affecting me directly, if it's not something that I'm in imminent danger of or my family's in imminent danger of, then that is something to be put aside and let kind of filter through all the drama. Facts are not complete in news stories anymore. It's a frustration of mine because I studied journalism in college for a little while before I realized that this was the pattern, is it's all about attracting views and opinions right away and to get you to react. And so if you react, you're contributing to that conflict without even realizing it. So better to wait at least a day to let things kind of solidify as far as the facts of a matter go. And if there's still things that are in dispute, it's probably best to still stay away from it. You're not adding anything to contributing to the discussions around these kind of things. You're only just creating more conflict. And so stop that dispute before it breaks out. Just hold your tongue. We're going to play that song again. Verse 15, acquitting the guilty and condemning the just, both are detestable to the Lord. And what we talked about in the last chapter here, why does a fool have money in his hand with no intention of buying wisdom? Okay, I love this. It's snarky, and I absolutely love it. I was like, "What are you doing? What good can you possibly be doing for yourself by not investing fully in wisdom first?" You know. So I've got to bring up some friends of mine just because I'm so proud of them. They recently retired. And it's like all of a sudden it's like unleash the hounds of what they want to learn and what they want to do. And it's just like the same kind of concept here where we're just saying, okay, well, let's invest in these things, It's your time now and your finances even. But it's really cool to see it becomes something where there's a hunger for it. And it's really, it brings me a lot of joy to see and that sort of thing. It's just really cool. So in other words, the fool would just, you know, have money in hand and just like, oh, what am I going to spend money on? Da, da, da. But the wise person says, oh, I'm going to invest in myself. You know, I'm going to make this world better because I'm made better by wisdom. It works. Verse 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a difficult time. A brother is born for adversity is another way to say that, I think. But a friend loves at all times. One without sense enters an agreement and puts security up for his friend. One without sense shakes hands is another way to kind of have a way to indicate the agreement. But putting security for a friend, it's like one without sense does that. Yeah, they're a friend, but are you really going to promise to pay back something if they don't? That's just not a wise way to go. One who loves to offend loves strife. One who builds a high threshold invites injury. One with a twisted mind will not succeed, and one with a deceitful speech will fall into ruin. Verse 21. A man fathers a fool to his own sorrow. The father of a fool has no joy. Verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. A wicked man secretly takes a bribe to subvert the course of justice. So that's a bribe thing again. Wisdom is the focus of the perceptive, but a fool's eyes roam to the end of the earth. It sounds exhausting. Verse 25, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. It is certainly not good to fine an innocent person or to beat a noble for his honesty or to beat a noble unfairly. The intelligent person restrains his words, and one who keeps a cool head or cool spirit is a man of understanding. So again, it's right there back with that. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. So yeah, in other words, it really is just staying silent. It's amazing how people will just assume you know what you're talking about if you're just keeping quiet about it. So it's one of those things where it's just like restraining your words. Even a fool who does that is considered wise. So how much more so will you be considered wise by restraining that? And if you wait for the invitation, if you're invited to speak on a matter or to give your opinion, once a fool is invited to that, they'll just spew out stupidity. But an intelligent person, one who is calm and collected and keeps a cool head, looks towards understanding things, that is someone who will give a good answer. But giving that good answer when you're not asked for it, that's just, it's inviting trouble. It's inviting conflict. It doesn't really work. Yeah. Anyway, I hope this was helpful to you today. I think there's a lot of here. Plenty of preaching. That was good for you. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm actually going to give myself a little break here, and then I'll be pre-recording tomorrow's broadcast. So join us for chapter 18 tomorrow. We'll be jumping ahead a bit, but we'll be doing that, and then I'll be inviting folks to join me at my church and whatnot. But good stuff. I will talk to you all tomorrow. Be blessed by the best, and then be blessed in all the rest. Love you guys. Hearts are tested in the heat of the mind. A wicked one listens to lips of deceit. A liar enjoys every malicious treat. Hold your tongue. Good medicine to find. Crushed spirits dry up bones left behind. A friend loves at all times, standing near as
Hold your tongue if it spews out lies. Gossip spreads like wildfires to the skies. Wisdom walks.